At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Oh, boy. Tuesday night, September the 2nd, when I record this, I say I. Here in a moment, it's going to be we, but I'm having a little bit of fun. You see, Patrick O'Dowd has been out for the past few weeks with work, and I was out for a while before. Then I think we've had one show maybe in the last few weeks, maybe two. I don't know. And because of how busy we've both been, we haven't even really had a chance to talk much. We've texted a little bit about wrestling. I don't know how much he's seen. He doesn't know how much I've seen. I've had a recent IZW event where we made our huge announcement that Samoa Joe is coming to IZW, his first indie appearance in over a decade. He's not doing it because he's taking indie bookings. He's doing it to work for IZW to put on a show with the Navajo Warrior in his retirement match. So a lot has gone on. And so what I want to do is we're going to bring Patrick O'Dowd in. We're going to call Patrick O'Dowd, bring him in, and we're going to take it from the top and have a little fit of fun. So we have nothing planned, nothing going on. So we are just going to call Patrick O'Dowd in. So you're going to hear the phone call being made. So we're going to go ahead and ring up Patrick O'Dowd and make this thing happen. There he is.
There you are.
There I am. See, I was already talking about you with the people.
You were talking about me with the people?
With the people listening to the program. I explained everything to them before I brought you on the air.
Ah, that was very nice of you.
Everything from the fact that, and here's why I did this, right? I told you earlier, we would just figure it out on the air. I don't know what you've seen. I know how busy you've been, right? I know that your life has been hell for the past 3 weeks. I know how busy I've been. I know what I've seen, what I haven't seen. And so it really just kind of brings things to the forefront of like, we'll figure it out. And so me figuring out what we've seen, what we haven't seen, and talking about it is probably highly entertaining. So why not, instead of talking for a half hour off air,
right,
why not use that time wisely?
But that's also our catch-up time, man. Like, that is our... So, I looked at the chat. The last time we were on a call was basically a month ago. August 5th is the last thing I have in our, like, teams records. Yeah. Maybe it's August. Maybe there's another week in there. Maybe we did. Did we do a show on August 12th? I don't remember.
I don't believe we did, but...
Yeah, so that means we haven't talked in a month, like talked in a month.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's absurd. Life is stupid sometimes.
Well, it's busy times. It's you were like, what have you seen? I saw Becky Lynch pull a hood off the other day.
See?
That was a highlight. I didn't watch the show.
But that's also WWE's built for that. So it's not right. Like,
well, that's, you shouldn't have seen it. I watched a snippet of Raw to see that they're setting up a little LA Knight Jey Uso thing while they're still working through the we're not going to win the world championship because it's not our feud, so we got to put them somewhere. Like, I saw some of that.
I don't think that's really where they're going, because it ended with Jey Uso telling Jimmy he can't do this by himself anymore. So I think they're moving more towards Jimmy and Jey versus Braun and Bronson.
So. Okay. That works out. I do like that Braun is, you know, is completely continuing the Steiner on the mic legacy. I saw that and Wolf.
He definitely
is. But who cares? What?
He definitely is continuing the Steiner on the mic. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's something. I saw the Kabuki Warriors wrestling the Judgment Day ladies.
You did.
Roxanne and a somewhat improved, can't remember her name.
Raquel Rodriguez. Yes.
Raquel Rodriguez. That's right. That's right. Over on the WOW Women of Wrestling side of things, I was sad to see that my giant goddess, the Classmaster, lost to Tormenta. Big news.
Ooh,
out last week. I know. I was very sad.
I didn't even know that the Classmaster lost to Tormenta. And I know the Classmaster. So, yeah.
You want to talk about, I was very sad. She's like my new wrestling crush. Like, I don't know what it is about the Classmaster, but I dig it. So
I understand.
That was, yeah. But, I'm more up on WOW and I'm like 5 weeks behind on WOW Women of Wrestling. Like, yeah. I just know,
but you're more up on
WOW. I follow their socials.
Of course.
Like it's, oh, I see the Instagram post, but, it is what it is. And so, we'll move on and I'll learn to live in the Tormenta era of the WOW Women of Wrestling,
I gotta look it up and see who Tormenta
what's that?
Is. I wonder who Tormenta is. Well, 'cause a lot of them are other things. Well,
right. Well, I think it's interesting because it is the definition. Like, if you want to watch a pro wrestling show that is very much what you grew up watching in the 80s, even though it's all women, like it is very much a show that is designed like an old NWA program.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like just sort of the way like things sort of prolong. Of course, they don't have pay-per-views. Like, so shows actually have like culminations and title changes and things like that. And they do, tapings well out and all of that. But it's an entertaining show.
Yeah, Tormenta is actually just Tormenta. Like, that's her name wrestling in Mexico as well. So,
yeah.
There you go.
But she's got some momentum out there. Good for her.
It's funny that you bring that up too. There's so many things you've brought up now that we can talk about without even purposely bringing it up. So I don't even know where to go, which direction to go in based on all the things that you've already said, because you've brought up a few different things that we can talk about right away. And a couple, one that really piques my interest, and you'll know why, because it's a very me topic. And some of the other ones too. So let's do this. Let's start the show. Seven and a half minutes in, and then we will talk about a couple of things that you've already brought up that I think are great directions to go in, and then a few things some more. So we'll just start the show, and then we'll get ourselves going here on this beautiful Tuesday night. Greg DeMarco Show. Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Patrick O'Dowd.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brandon Morales.
The biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
So breaking news here on the program. Patrick O'Dowd still can't hear the sound bites when I play them. So there you go.
Sorry, hold on a second. A guy I went to high school with, I just learned he passed away.
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
You're okay.
Not like, yeah, that could be a different conversation. He was like a senior when I was like a freshman, but he was like the senior who was like super cool to me.
Okay.
So that's just, it's crazy.
No, anyway. I remember when I found out that a guy I worked with at a previous job had passed away. And I found out through one of our fans at IZW, like literally had made a post.
Really?
Her friend passed away, and his name, I don't want to say too much on air because I feel bad, but his name, 99.99% of the population spells this person's name with an O, and he spelled it with an E. And when she posted it with an E, and I reached out to her, and I was like, hey, are you talking about this person? She was like, yeah. He was like, I bowled with him. I was a bowling person, just like you. And oh, wow. I was like, that's definitely him. He was a big bowler. Like, he would always talk about it at work. And so then I was reaching out to people that we all worked with together that had all since split apart, worked different places. And you know how that goes. People fall out of touch.
Right.
Hey, you know, I hope you're doing well. I just wanted to let you know. So-and-so passed away. And they're like, oh my God. Like, found out like he'd gotten divorced and just had a bunch of health issues. And yeah, it's crazy what happens sometimes.
But. Yeah, social media, man. Like, that's, I was just popping up Facebook while I was waiting for the intro to go through, because I only know when Greg DeMarco starts talking again, whether a soundbite is done. No, but I'll never forget this guy because he was like one of our star athletes, like at my local high school. And I actually met him when I was in eighth grade because he did the High School Musical. For whatever reason. And I was on stage with this guy as an eighth grader, not even in high school yet. And I remember, like, he was just, for being one of those popular dudes in school, for being like one of these top athletes who is clearly not ever going to be in my social circle. Like, I just was extraordinarily kind to me when I was in eighth grade, and made me feel welcome as this little, like, I'm the junior high kid who's filling out the cast and the high school play, and that guy actually like took the time to like talk to me. Ain't like he didn't have to, like he didn't have to do any of that, and it's a little thing, but I'll never forget that. I remember that to this day, and that's just, it's a shock, because that's like, I'm 47. That means he was 51. Like,
and you don't know why.
That's a scary thought.
So, that's the challenge. You don't know why yet. At least I'm assuming you don't know why.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I may not until I talk to my dad. My dad will fill me in.
Well, hopefully it's, you know, I don't even know what to follow up with. Hopefully maybe he was inspired and now it's over. Who knows? But,
yeah, who knows?
It is crazy how we go through life.
Anyway.
And you find out people get divorced that you thought were amazing and going to be together forever, and then people pass away, and, you know. I found out recently that a guy you and I worked with just turned 60, and I'm like, how's this person 60?
Oh?
So, yeah.
Who turned 60?
I'll have to text you the name.
Okay.
They were older.
It's got to be from UConn.
So, yeah, everybody's from UConn. We don't know anybody who didn't work at UConn. So
that's fair. I have some guesses. I'm just trying to remember some of the folks that were there, but I think I might know.
Probably one of your guesses. So, because the other person old enough.
That was
to
my
be
first.
Category,
that was my first guess.
The other person.
Yeah,
The other person old enough to be in this category also passed away several years ago, and then the third person. You think you and I would be more shocked if anything happened to them, because he was the one that knew the closest. So,
but we have hit that. It's interesting, and I know this isn't where you intended to go,
but this is a show about life that also happens to be about wrestling.
True, but we talked about when Hulk Hogan passed away, and you know we had our conversations. We are at that age now where not only like. It is like you're getting into the other half of your own timeline, but like everybody that we grew up with, it's like any time, you know, you could learn that somebody has passed and it'd not necessarily be a surprise. Like Hulk Hogan passing was not a surprise. you know, he was a little young, but not so young that you would be like, no way, that's crazy and impossible. And that's, you know, as we face our own mortality, like people that were, you know, though we like, this isn't the first person I've grown up with that's passed away or that, well, like, you know, from my childhood, but it is kind of weird to think about like where we were, you know, when you think that things are never ending as a kid. And now here we are in our mid to late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
It is looking crazy at the other half of it.
It is crazy. Like what, you know, you hit that phase in life where these things happen and you're just, you know, these things are gone. I mean, just make sure, by averages, like this shit's just going to happen.
Well, and it makes you really think about like things you want to do. What do you accomplish? And I'll segue somewhat. Like if there's something that I envy and am proud of you, is that you have gotten to do something you like were passionate about trying to do. In you know, we make jokes about Greg DeMarco as a booker. But kids, for those of you who don't know and haven't paid attention, Greg's not only a booker, he's actually achieved a goal, a booking goal that he hoped to achieve. And he had some help, but like, I don't want to steal your thunder. I know you've already put it out there and announced it, but you got to book one of your white whales, man.
So and it is funny. Awesome. I actually mentioned this before I brought you on. So I got to make the announcement. So we'll start there, I guess. This wasn't even one of my planned things based on what you...
Oh, we were going to talk about it.
Oh, we were. It wasn't one of my planned things to start with based on the conversation you and I had.
Sure.
Had. So at IZW Psycho Circus 3, which was our... by time bell rang and everything, it was our second biggest sales ever. So behind the show you were at, of course, with Nick Nemeth. And I got to make the announcement that Samoa Joe would be the final opponent for the Navajo Warrior. And I feel pretty confident in saying it's probably the last big pop I'll ever get in my life. Like, there were people that had figured it out. There were people that knew just because it got teased online a little bit and I had warned against it. But because the person that teased and said it was a former Ring of Honor world champion thought that like, well, there's been like 40 of those. They'll never figure it out. And the first guess is like Samoa Joe. And
right.
And then the next clue was going to be former TNA X Division champion. And I'm like, you just narrowed it down to 8 people by doing that. And it ain't Austin Aries. It ain't low key. It's definitely not Xavier. You know, it's like, we're going to easily filter off a lot of these choices. Christopher Daniels is retired and he was the other one that had close ties to the Navajo Warrior. And I actually had a conversation with a couple people beforehand and I was like, just do me a favor. These are fans that have been in every single event. Do me a favor. When I'm in the ring talking about this, please don't scream the name you think it is. Just don't. I said, because if you're right, you're going to spoil it for some people. And if you're wrong, some people are going to be very disappointed. And they're like, and they didn't. And they did exactly what I asked of them, which I really appreciated. But when I was bringing it up, you know, I don't plan these things out that much in my head anymore. Like I just kind of go do it. So the tag team match had taken place already. The four gentlemen were celebrating in the ring, the Navajo Warrior, Hawaiian Lion, Mike Knox, and Hollywood Yates, right? They're doing their thing in the ring. I come in. I have to explain that I'm not there to interrupt, blah, blah, blah. I thank them. And then I talk and I see the fans, like, as I bring it up, I'm like, you know, and I had the opening line. I'm like, maybe the man who's capable of retiring the Navajo Warrior isn't a man at all, but a machine. And I saw some people perk up. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, and maybe that machine specializes in the art of submission. And then I see more people perk up. And I'm like, and maybe that submission machine is of a Samoan heritage. And now, and then I realized how many people.
Everybody doesn't know.
There's one kid in the back that starts going, Joe, Joe, Joe. So whatever. Right. I did not advise that one. Now you know who that person was. And then I literally was like, he held world championships. And I listed like every, because he's held world championships in almost every company except WWE. And by the time I said it was Samoa Joe, like people went nuts. The cool part is there were wrestlers that didn't even know. Like that's how quiet we kept it. And so I get to the back and they're like, you popped some of the boys when you said Samoa Joe, because they didn't know yet. And I literally said Samoa Joe, and then I just got the fuck out the ring and let them continue their celebration or whatever, because there's nothing I could do from that point. Like,
right.
Nothing.
Yeah, you've made your announcement. The crowd goes wild, and then it's about the four guys in the ring reacting and responding to
that, and then finishing off their celebration, because they told me afterwards, because there was one guy that I was almost fixated on because he was like so animated and lighting up with every word that I said. I guess one of the wrestlers even grabbed the other one and was like, look at this guy over there. He's going crazy right now. Wait till he says the name. This guy's going to go nuts. And because they know the business. I mean, it's Hollywood Yates. Like, the man's an entertainer. Right. Like, he's literally a true Renaissance man. I have so much respect for him, and told him that. But it's so, like, to be able to do that and to get that reaction, it is crazy. Here's a few things about it, though, that are kind of crazy. First of all, we sell out of, like, our last event we sold out of in May. We sold out of Front Row VIP for August at the start of, right before the beginning of the fourth match, right, is when we sold out of Front Row VIP. Quickest that we'd ever done it. Everyone's like, oh, well, when you announce Joe, it's going to be even quicker. Well, we announced Joe after the sixth match. We sold out a Front Row VIP at the end of the first match. Miranda announced that there were four VIP tickets left. And by the time I got back to the door to see if anyone comes over, there was a lady there buying them, all four, and two other people bought four online. So we oversold, which I kind of figured was going to happen and tried to plan for. And basically, yeah, it just went like that. And then, so we opened up second row. We opened up third row, like, right away, which we've never done. Third row was gone by, I think, last Tuesday, a week ago. And people were like, you have to do a fourth row. And I'm like, okay, we got to keep VIP special. Like, it's just, we can't just keep, you know, go to eighth row VIP. Not only that, but then the door's got to get everybody in, you know, before VIP starts.
So. Right.
There's a lot of logistics.
Someone who's worked a door at a wrestling show, man.
Not only that, but you also just lived through like 3 years of logistical hell. So
I did.
Or 3 weeks, I should say. Your job. So
yeah, well, it all pays off for the 3 days where you pull it off. Much like it all pays off when they're there and they're getting seated and they're all amped and ready to go.
But that's the thing that people don't
think about. I am very happy for you.
Seating and chairs and whatever, like, that's the kind of thing that you have to think about as a wrestling promoter. It's not
numbers
all
matter, people.
It's not all booking shows and the creative piece of it. That's like the reward for all the other, the marketing and the stress. Is anyone going to come to this show? Because we, you know, there's always a late surge in ticket sales. So there's always that. Is anyone even going to come to this show? You're always worried that the bottom's going to fall out and the late surge isn't going to happen.
But,
and it always does.
Can I ask you this? Because now you've been, how long have you been at this iteration in your role at IZW?
It'll be 6 years.
6 years.
In November.
So you've been at this for 6 years. Your foundation is more than solid at this point.
Yeah, you're right.
So I don't know that, and I get it. Part of staying hungry and staying humble is being prepared for, or always having in the back of your head, this can go away at any time.
Yep.
Like, sure. I truly believe that is a mindset, and that's a fair mindset to have. As the guy on the outside, like, I'm not saying you're too big to fail or anything like that. Obviously not. But I do think that what has been built with your ticket sales and your venues and your arenas and the number of folks that want to work in this company with you and for the folks that are also part of your management running this company, like, you're solid. Like, you're solid. Like, I don't think you have to worry about what if nobody comes unless you finger poke a doom this thing at some point. And it just, you don't book that way. Yeah. And I've never known you to book that way. No. And so
if I do, you know, it's time to hang them up. You know, that's,
I will say, I mean, much like any sort of run, right? Like, there's peaks and there's valleys.
Of course.
And I do think that this year, not just with the Navajo retirement tour, Like, you've done some things this year that you haven't done at IZW, and that IZW hasn't experienced. I mean, you had a woman world champion. Like,
sure did.
And that was definitely not, I mean, you had a whole hot potato plan with your belt that has, I don't know if the payoff has come yet or where you are in that plan, but like, I visited you how long ago?
You visited me in November, but let's not talk about the hot potato plan right now.
No. I'm not going to talk about that, but I like it, things that happened like a month and a half ago.
Right.
Like you've done a lot of things outside of the Navajo Retirement Tour.
Absolutely.
And a lot of things are happening outside of the Navajo Retirement Tour.
100%.
Tell me that, you know, like creatively, you're in a pretty good place. Your company's in a pretty good place. And yeah, I don't think you're gonna fall off a cliff, but there's gonna be ebbs and flows, right? Like there that's are. Just there how flows. Wrestling.
And we look at how to tackle them. Like I'll give you an example. For the last 2 years since we moved to our new venue, we've had amazing crowds, amazing whatever. But every May is our lowest attended event. So it's like, okay, what do I have to do to get May built up? What do I have to insert to May that's maybe special to May? Who knows? And so trying to figure out what we do for May, because the other three are always like breaking records or whatever. And then May comes in. And don't get me wrong, May at Bullshooters has been better than May and the good months, the better months elsewhere. But it's our worst performing month at this venue. So it's like, okay. And we thought about names we can bring in. We thought about moving a specific match type from one event to another. So there's different things that we thought about for May that we could potentially do. And I look at an event like Psycho Circus, which just took place. And obviously you have the Navajo Warrior Retirement Tour matches. And those offer a challenge because it's a whole other match that maybe wasn't going to happen on a card when you try to limit the number of matches. And we had Martin Casals on the card, and he's a name. But it's his third time out with us now, so there's no Martin Casals push or rub, so to speak. He's amazing, and I love having him out, and we will continue to have him out. We had Lindsay Snow on the card, who most people don't know who she is on the West Coast, but she was a lot of fun and did an amazing job as well. But this card was our second highest ever selling card, completely built around our core local talent and you know, our surrounding states talent, not built on a Nick Nemeth or a Samoa Joe or a Frankie Kazarian or anybody like that. So it's... And honestly, this August became our second biggest show by defeating last August, which was our second biggest show. And of course, last November was our biggest. So you're right. Like it is, and other companies locally are having bring in names because they want to draw more. And us and PCW, which is our local company, we're doing it without bringing in names because we focus on building up our homegrown, quote unquote, homegrown, more homegrown for them than us. But we taken a lot of the major Arizona talents and used them in IZW and created a home for them. But it's just, that's just, everybody has a different strategy, and that's been ours. And it's definitely working. Now I will tell you this. If we stop selling tickets today, this is our fourth biggest show ever already.
Right.
And we've got seven. I get
and this it's one September person, 2nd.
There's one person who sends me a message every day telling me how many days there are until the event. And so we're 67 days away from Long Live the King, which is the name of the event. But what's been really cool, and we've had a few things here and there, but and you were too busy to see some of this. We've been reported about on every major wrestling website because of this Samoa Joe booking. The headline does not mention IZW. The headline mentions Samoa Joe's first indie event in over a decade. Cause he hasn't. And I looked it up and I didn't realize it. He hasn't wrestled in indie since 2015, May of 2015. And cause he doesn't need to, right? He went to NXT and then WWE and then
he did his thing,
left and went back to Ring of Honor and AEW. He's in a fucking TV show. Like he doesn't need indie bookings. Like he's probably making a seven figure salary from AEW plus whatever he's getting from, you know, Peacock
and Twisted Metal,
which is a Twisted Metal, which is probably $500,000. I would imagine that's kind of like, I mean, he's the third name in the credits when you want like the opening credits, like it's Anthony Mackie.
Yep.
It's Stephanie Madriz, whatever her name is, who's the second star. And then it's Joe Sanoia.
From Brooklyn 99.
With Joe Sanoia, which is Samoa Joe. Like, that's, I remember seeing that in the credits. I've been like, oh, Samoa Joe's literally the third name you see. Not Will Arnett, who's later.
If but only Samoa he Joe. Got to speak. Right.
Well, if you play the video game, he's spoken in the video game. But,
right.
But no, I get it. People, I guess there have been things that have been recorded that people are wondering if we'll ever get out there. Because I guess he does say the lines when they're recording so that he can get the mannerism straight with them, whatever. I was reading an interview with him. I don't know. But what's crazy is that I then get messages. How do I book Samoa Joe? Who do I need to contact to book Samoa Joe? And I'm like, you don't. Like I don't. I'm not saying this to be, I'm not saying, trying to make like we're the only people who Samoa Joe will take a booking from.
Right.
This is not about that. This is literally about him doing this for his friend. You know?
Right.
And so that's
right. And I think that's
where it's
Gotten lost, I'm assuming, in a lot of those reports, right? Like, do they that's not the part that's getting mentioned. Probably
they do mention them. Every single report has listed what he's doing. It's talked about IZW. It's talked about the Navajo Warrior. You know how wrestling news works, right? When one person reports something, they all copy it.
Right.
So the first
one. So it's all the same article.
But it's all the same things that are wrong. So the first one reported it. It was fine. I think it was Fightful, right? The second one reports it. No, the first one was actually the Wrestling Observer. I was like, if Dave Meltzer only knew whose company he was supporting. The second one, I think, was Fightful. I don't know. I could have him wrong. But it said he was 55, the Navajo Warrior. And he's not 55. He's younger than that. So now every other article says he's 55. And he keeps being like, stop making me older than I really am. And so we laugh about it. Every time we see one, we send it in our little group chat that me, him, and his wife have. And we laugh. But it's cool just to get that coverage and people seeing, you know.
Yeah.
The first article that was out about it, because we were going to put some stuff together to send out, and they beat us to it. And most of them, like the very first one, used the Kingslayer Wrestling, who does our VIP events now, and they just literally had their first ever event with us in August, and they killed it. It was his video of me announcing the match that was there. So like there's a video of me in the Wrestling Observer announcing this match. It's kind of funny. And that's what caused the news to break. Somebody picked up on it, and then it's just kind of flowed from there. So a week ago now, we were all over the wrestling news reports, and of course that goes away very quickly. But we're super fortunate, super lucky, and now it's about putting together the best possible event. It's about putting together the best possible retirement event for the Navajo Warrior while still supporting and advancing our normal storylines, and. Trying to accommodate the people who want to be there, who we want to be there. So, yeah.
Right. And you got to know that those people whoever you got booked for that show.
Right.
Like you're going to get the hardest work. I won't say the best, because sometimes when you try too hard, but you are going to get the most attentive wrestlers you've had, like, no matter what, backstage. Like there will be a lot of yes bossing. There will be, I'm fairly certain, like, everybody is going to want to probably really try to blow the roof off and like one up it, because they're going to want to. Very much the same sort of feeling, and I would say electricity, that I could tell from the wrestlers as they showed up, knowing that Nick Nemeth was coming. It's going to be the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's just a different level of excitement when a name like that comes and performs on your show from the talent. And I think you're going to get everybody's best foot forward. Now, whether that translates to best matches done, like, you never know, because nerves are a thing. And like I said, sometimes you try too hard when you try to do great. And so I think your challenge might be keeping emotions under control for some of those other folks.
Maybe. It's funny because
on the card. And I'm not saying you don't have great people that can't do that, but you know, at all. I just,
thankfully,
this is different.
The level of talent that we use, many of them have been in locker rooms with names, and whether it's been with us, you know, a lot of them wrestled, obviously, the event with Nick Nemeth, and you know, you were there, like, Nick Nemeth was cool as fuck, like, backstage, and showed up at 4 when he didn't even have to, and like just did it the right way. And my gut instinct is that Joe is going to be equally cool as fuck, is my guess.
This is the guy that we shook hands with in a New Jersey McDonald's.
Right? Exactly. you know, 19 years ago at the point when this event takes place. So, that's insane to think about, right? 2006 is when that happened.
Yeah. So long.
19 years later, he's wrestling for IZW and he's a living legend. But it's and little things like we assign agents to our matches, right? Veteran wrestlers whose job it is to help the wrestlers with their match.
Right.
And I told Nav, I was like, I'm not assigning you to any matches on this event because you're going to have everybody want to talk to you. You're going to have your match with Joe. And he was like, no, that's probably for the best. Like, it's just because, and we got plenty of agents. Like, he'll be fine only having, like, I'll assign him to his match with Joe. Like, I'm not going to assign an agent to their match, right? Like, what can an agent tell the Navajo Warrior?
Can you imagine that person walking up, hey guys, right? So here's what
guy
you
number one's been wrestling for 26 years, guy number two's been wrestling for 35, so yeah, let's I think you guys should do this in your match. Like, go away. So
that's adorable.
It'd be a rib on somebody if I did that, and we don't do those, but no, so it's crazy. It's almost like an out-of-body experience sometimes because it is like, how in the hell did this happen? Like, how did we get to this point? Like, I was standing there listening to Nav explain to Mike Knox, because Mike Knox has been out of it in terms of IZW. Like, he came up through IZW, yeah. But then in 2005, 2006, he signs with WWE, and it's been off to the races for him ever since with runs in TNA and, of course, now NWA, and he lives in Tampa, so it's not like he's out here. And so Nav was explaining to him, and, you know, people, like, lose touch and because they're so busy. And so he was explaining to him, like, this is when we brought it back, and Greg does all these things, and he's the one who does the creative, and Mike Knox had no idea who I was. He had no fucking clue.
Right.
So now he does, and that's great. But, you know, and then someone like Hollywood Yates, who was there in 2020 and then hasn't been back till now, he's like, the way you guys have grown this thing is amazing. The storylines, the fans, everything, like, you guys have done something really special here, and this is a guy who, you know, tours the world playing music and as a radio clown. So, like, he knows a thing or two about a thing or two. And
right.
But to have Joe, yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I remember when one of our main people who's I'm trying to infuse some more people in the creative process. And I took a picture as I was preparing the flyer, because we literally put up flyers of Joe right after the announcement in the building. Like, we wouldn't want to spoil anything. And as I was preparing it, I took a picture of it and sent it to somebody, and I was just like, this is a real picture that we're doing. And they're like, it's weird. It just is kind of crazy. And I don't know what it is about Samoa Joe, because I would imagine Nick Nemeth is probably a bigger star. Dolph Ziggler.
I would think so.
More WrestleManias, WWE World Champion two times. One of the more famous Money in the Bank cash-ins.
What is your crowd though now? Like, what is your crowd, Dom?
It's decidedly, because if I had to say, it's a WWE crowd.
So I get that. Then that does surprise me a little bit.
But Joe is Joe.
Joe is Joe, and Joe. It's not like Joe's a nobody, right, and has never been in a WWE ring. He's been in a TNA ring. You named all the companies he's worked for. He's been on. He's been nationally televised. Every single one of them.
He's literally probably the one guy. Look, Ring of Honor World Champion, TNA World Champion, every title in TNA, NXT Champion, US Champion in WWE, went back to Ring of Honor, became Ring of Honor World Champion again, held some belts in Japan, and was AEW World Champion, and I still won, you know, AEW Trios Champion, or six-man tag team champion. But there's just this thing about, you know, he's just one of those guys. Like, AJ Styles, before he ever went to WWE, was still a bigger name than some names in WWE. Like, AJ Styles showed up in WWE in 2016, already bigger than, say, Zack Ryder ever was, right? So there's that. Patrick O'Dowd is now frozen, so I don't know. There he goes. Patrick O'Dowd is not frozen anymore. But what I was saying,
you were frozen on my end.
Gotcha. Before AJ Styles showed up in WWE, he was bigger than many WWE. He was bigger than, say, a Zack Ryder. Right. And Zack Ryder's bigger now. Maybe.
Right. Than ever before. Right. Right.
Joe is kind of that same way. Some guys just have that aura, and Joe is aura, like, to a T. He's not all.
Oh, very much so. I mean, he's carried that for as long from the mm-hmm. second Christopher Daniels brought him in.
Right.
To ROH. Like, he's always been.
Which many people probably forget.
Larger, like he's always had a larger than life presence. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you said aura, I think was the word that you used. It's very clear that he carries that. And you see it in the way that people go nuts for him. You see it just even in the, like, even the persona he carries outside of the ring, like outside of, like, he's always been this presence that people pay attention to and gravitate to. And in the ring, you know, he's just a tough bastard that's going to, you know, kick the holy hell out of you, though he is susceptible to flash pins. So you got to watch out for that.
I'll make sure that Nav will have him well.
Nav, if you're listening. Yeah, Nav, if you're listening, don't forget. Like, you can get him on a roll up. Like, just a little schoolboy from behind. Right. You got him.
That would be hilarious, by the way. That would be absolutely hilarious if that was a finish. People would murder me if the finish of Navajo's last match was a roll up.
You could be like, no, hey, those guys booked it.
Right? I'm out the front door. Bye, guys. We'll Venmo you. But no, so it's crazy. By the way, if anybody's listening and you're like, wait, Samoa Joe's wrestling independent wrestling date, do yourself a favor and go to IZWTix.com. Do me a favor, pick up a ticket. You're not getting first, second, or third row. They're already gone, but get your general admission tickets, which those are selling.
I think you'll be fine, man.
You'll
do great.
I'm super excited about it. It's already like, you know, it's more like making sure we buy extra, we rent extra chairs, like things like that. Those are good problems to have.
So you did mention this. This is a big event. Mm-hmm. What's the cool down after this to the next event? And I'm not asking you to I'm not asking you to like ruin your stories or anything, but like, how do you, there's no way to maintain that high, right? Like that you're going to have with like that retirement match with Joe, but the show after the show is an important show.
It is.
Are you excited for that? Are you ready to go for that next part?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I am. We book normally by this point, I've got all 2026 booked already, but I don't yet. But, last year we had same situation, right? Nick Nemeth came in for November, looks at kill, made news, NWA stole the event title for one of their own, like all these cool things that happen. And I mean it, like, I love the fact they stole our event name. But our next event, I was like, what do we do? But if you remember January, we ran the free show, free admission.
That's right.
So that was, well, we're doing that again this year. It just hasn't been announced yet. So some people are listening to this will be like, oh, they're doing a free show again. So,
spoiler.
Yeah. So in January.
And I wasn't even asking for you to do that. I wasn't trying to set that up for you. Like,
but that definitely helps. And then we go into February, which is Monster, which is like, yes, it has our version of the Royal Rumble, but Monster's kind of like our Royal Rumble and WrestleMania all rolled into one, right? It's more like in NASCAR, it's our Daytona 500, right? They always tell you, like, NASCAR has it'll always be the first race of the NASCAR season will be the Daytona 500.
Right.
So it's our Daytona 500, and it sets the tone for the year, and it's a big, huge event, and it always sells well. So we'll have that, and we've got some things planned for that one already, some names that will excite people, and we're working on more names after that too. So, it'll be fun.
I can keep asking you questions all day.
You keep asking about
IZW, and you'd be happy to answer it. We should take a commercial break, though. We should sell some t-shirts. We're 40
minutes into the program now.
So, yeah, we've got quite a show.
So Patrick did mention selling some t-shirts. You can do that at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. I'm pretty sure if you go there, I believe it'll still be valid Wednesday. There's like a 20% off code for Labor Day. Promo code's probably Labor or Labor Day, but it always pops up when you go to prowrestlingtees.com. So head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up a chair shot t-shirt, support the cause, support what we do here at chairshot.com. It supports great shows, not just this one, but Bandwagon Nerds, DWA Podcast, Pod is War, which is back, you know, so many others, right? The Mindless Wrestling Podcast and so many more. I feel bad when I start naming podcasts because then it's possible to leave some off, but a lot of hard work goes into
everybody gets all sad. Yeah.
Like I always say, websites don't grow on trees. They grow in computers. And so we have to make sure that those things are paid for. So if you want to support us and also get a shirt for yourself, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up one of those beautiful t-shirts. At Patrick O'Dowd's suggestion, let's go to a commercial break. We'll come back and I will still have those topics to talk about that I mentioned earlier. So it worked out pretty well that we'll still have those topics to talk about here on the show. We will be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
All right, we are back. I might even playing a soundbite to bring us back because Patrick O'Dowd can't hear it. And an audience of one today, and that one is Patrick O'Dowd. You brought up a couple things when we first started talking about this before the show opening. And one of them was that you saw that Becky Lynch pulled off a ski mask or whatever she was wearing and revealed herself as helping Seth freaking Rollins win the Fatal 4-Way match at Clash in Paris, which I had been wanting Becky Lynch to be part of the Vision and for them to sort of be a power couple for a long time now, especially with Becky being a heel and Seth Rollins being a heel. And they may be doing it for a completely different reason, that reason being a person by the name of AJ Lee, because it seems like they're headed in that direction. Possibly for WrestlePalooza.
I mean,
is their first PLE on
it. A social media post from CM Punk today with her picture and big eyes underneath it.
SmackDown's in Chicago on Friday, and Punk's already hinted that he's going to be there. And again, they don't build things over months and months and months and months. They just don't do that anymore. Because their schedule is just absurd. And they've got this September 20th pay-per-view or PLE, the first one on ESPN. So they're going to go hard for this. They've already got John Cena and Brock Lesnar. I could see Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch against CM Punk and AJ Lee being a thing on WrestlePalooza. But it's twofold. It's like everyone knows that Becky Lynch is married to Seth Rollins. Everybody does. They talk about it. People use it in promos. Why not put them together? Right? They're both two of the biggest stars in the company at this point. They're both Hall of Famers. This is where they're going. Like, have some fun with it. Let them do it.
Yeah.
And they did. They did just do it. So
yeah, it's not exactly an unheard of thing in wrestling. And like you said, it's more of a question of why did it take so long than anything. But, you know, the plan is the plan. And if I'm just going to assume that there were whatever they had in place, this is when they wanted to pull that trigger. And like you said, a CM Punk, AJ Lee versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch thing makes a lot of sense.
Right. And you've got your likely building to the bronze, Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed against the Usos. And maybe the CM Punk AJ Lee tag team comes later. Maybe they're going to build that out for a little bit of time.
Yeah,
it's just not what they've been
doing. There's a lot you can do there.
It's just not what they've been doing lately. So there is that aspect of it. There's been this push online with this most recent European tour, and to the point where I've seen people legitimately suggest, not ironically, but legitimately suggest, WWE move its home base of operations to Europe. And because the crowds are amazing, the shows are fun, and all of this stuff. And I see you holding your head in your hand at the thought of this, Patrick O'Dowd. So verbalize for the people.
Oh my God.
Why this elicits the consternation that it does.
The reason you get this difference that everybody pays attention to and goes crazy for is because it's not a regular thing. I'm just going to start with that. Like it's special to them. Yes. So they make it special because it's truly special. And, you know, if you want to say that American audiences just don't get, like, I don't even understand where this argument comes from. Do they think the WWE is magically hurting? Do they think that they're not selling? Do they just think American crowds are dumb? Do they like 2 p.m. PLEs? Because I don't hate that. Like, I don't mind an afternoon PLE. But it doesn't feel like a big event here stateside. I just think it's a dumb argument that's trapped in the moment of seeing something in a crowd that you're not used to seeing. And so you think that that needs to be how it is all the time. But Eddie Murphy made a point once. You know, if you give a starving man a cracker, he's going to be like, this is the greatest cracker I've ever had. What is this a Ritz? But if you give that starving, if you give this same man a cracker, the same cracker every day, over and over and over again, eventually he's just going to realize he's got plain old crackers. Mm-hmm. And it's not special anymore. Like, embrace and enjoy the special that is these events and these crowds, you know, and whether it's here, whether it's in Australia, whether it's, as much as I don't like them, those Middle Eastern shows, like, you know, those Saudi Arabia shows, like,
yeah,
embrace those, the specialness for what it is and why it is, but don't lose the forest for the trees here.
Right.
By thinking this is something that would fundamentally change a product. It's not going to fundamentally do whatever you think it's going to do. Like, the WWE would still be the show that it is, just with different people cheering about it, because they don't get to have it
right
in their town like you do. Exactly. You're just taking it for granted, American audience. That's all this is.
Well, and that was one person did make that argument, that because a lot of people were just focused on the European crowds, how great they are, blah, blah, blah. Right. They treat it like a soccer match. They have their cheers, chants, whatever. And you're right. You're 100% right. You make it less special, it's going to become less special. Like, that's, I had a conversation the other day on Friday, with somebody who runs events, one of our wrestlers who's also running other events on their own. And one of the things he mentioned was, after being at the last IZW event, he thinks he needs to run less. That we run 4 main cards a year, and then we supplement with the conventions and some other things. We're doing a joint show down in Sierra Vista later this month, like little things here and there. But he's like, everything is so special, and I need to make my events more special. And so, you know, that he thinks that might be a business model that works better for what he wants to accomplish. And it's kind of the same principle. Like, WWE goes over there like twice a year, basically. Now, they run the risk of doing it too much as well, because they just announced the Road to Royal Rumble tour is going to be in Europe, and it's like 11 dates, and of course encompasses Raws and SmackDowns and whatever. And they usually do
but
it
it's
right,
2 weeks.
Know, right. And it's Germany this time, right? So they do Germany.
Right.
This time they did England and they did France. Like, they can be, you know, they did Brussels last time. Like, there's all these different places they can do to still keep it special. They could do Australia. And now when they go over for the PLEs, they're kind of sometimes doing both SmackDown and Raw. I mean, Raw had 20,000 people at it this past Monday.
Right.
The PLE had 30. Like, it's this random arena that holds 30,000 people. I think it maybe it can hold indoor soccer matches, but so it's set up as a way that they can do this. So Raw, PLE plus Raw, 53,000 people. That's a stadium show that they just had in France,
right,
in Paris, basically. So it's, you know, I don't think people realize. Somebody did make the argument that if we had less events in the U.S., maybe our crowds would appreciate it more and be more special.
Right.
And that could be true, but here's the thing. We've almost everybody at Raw and SmackDown in the U.S., has never not had WWE on a regular basis. And I don't know the answer to this question I'm about to ask, so I'm asking it rhetorically. How many years would it take before the U.S. crowds treated it as something special again? It wouldn't happen next year or the year. Like, it would probably take a decade
for
the novelty to come back.
It would not just be reducing the dates, and this kind of segues nicely into, you know, 13 days from today. It's also about where you're having the show. And
right.
Like, that's another way that you can make it special. And I say 13 days away because on September 15th, Raw, oddly enough, not oddly enough, it makes perfect sense when you know the story. If you've looked at the schedule of events of upcoming shows, Raw is coming to Springfield, Massachusetts, and is doing a show at the Mass Mutual Center, which I last visited as a venue for an AEW, not Dynamite, the Saturday Collision show, and an ROH show, and some other taping. Like, it was like three shows. It was brutal amount of time. It was so much wrestling. But I can guarantee you that going to a smaller city like a Springfield every now and again, that would maybe create sort of the special thing, because those people don't get those shows. But you're never not going to take your tour to New York. You're never not going to take your tour to Boston or Los Angeles or Phoenix. Like, you can't. Those shows, they're arena shows too. And they still bring their crowd. Like, it's not like they're not selling tickets. Like, I guess that's the thing, right? Is it's not like they're not selling tickets. It's not like the people who are there aren't enthusiastic. They just didn't synchronize a chant, you know?
That's also right? Cultural. Like, this is what Europe does.
Right, soccer very matches. Much so.
And they get soccer matches the time.
If you do a Raw in Japan, that crowd's going to be very different.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's going to happen? The U.S. fans are going to complain about it, that the crowd's not loud enough.
Right.
They're clapping too much.
Why aren't they loud? Yeah, it's weird. But I do think, like, to make something special in the United States with the tour that they have, I think it's not only reducing dates, it also would be, like, picking out and changing some cities. And I used Springfield, Mass. As an extreme example. They're only going to Springfield because John Cena went to Springfield College.
Right.
And this is a make good.
Because there's probably not a big arena in
the
West
place
Newberry,
that raised
Massachusetts. So.
No. Well, in West, you know, and the arena they're going to isn't exactly
right.
Massive. Like, I have bad seats and I still have fine seats.
Right, you still have.
I'm more worried about an obstructed. I'm more worried about an obstructed view due to the stage, just because they haven't said it on the ticket, but just sort of looking at the layout.
Right,
like, I'm kind of watching them from behind go to the ring.
Okay,
so that, like, kind of at an angle. We'll see what it is. I'm very interested to see how much of the Raw set ends up there, but, like, you would have to go to. I don't even know what we would consider a unique city in a state that could still pull a crowd that they would be so rabid about having a show that they would turn out right. And give people the sort of crowd that they want. I can't. Like,
maybe
it's like
El Paso,
Texas. What's a
Texas,
mid-tier city?
Right, like El Paso,
yeah, like
Texas.
You'd have to find mid-tier cities.
I think they've been in Albuquerque recently. Albuquerque is a vastly underrated right. Wrestling city that could do really well. I mean, a lot of them, the way they go, it's like they just announced the two events in Salt Lake City in Utah and
yeah.
You know, maybe like Wyoming, somewhere in Wyoming, but I don't know the wrestling population.
Go to Idaho. There's like five people in Idaho. They deserve a show.
Right. But if you do it on the campus of Boise State and do it in their, whatever their basketball arena is.
Yeah, there you go.
You might draw. I mean, yeah. Raw has been, I remember my son, who of course we all know goes to University of Nebraska, hits me up one day. He was like, I didn't know Raw was in Omaha last night. Like, you know, it's like, and they got football players there. Like, it's, you know, cause Omaha is one of their cities. And I'm spoiled. Like, Phoenix is one of their best markets in the country now. So, and they're right. Coming here to the Mullet Center, which is the hockey arena for ASU, which only holds like 5,000 people, when they normally draw 13,000 plus in the Phoenix arena. But they're doing it as part of their Big 12 tour that they're doing. And that's why they're in
right.
The Mullet Arena for that SmackDown, which is conveniently less than two weeks before our event with Samoa Joe. So thank you.
How about that?
We might actually flyer that one because we never flyer WWE events because they're usually not close enough to our event to flyer.
Right.
We might actually have to flyer that one. But it's just their strategy because they're going to get these great crowds. And you know, Nitro used to plan the Nitro parties and do stuff around around college campuses and everything. Like, it's, you do have to do things to keep it unique and keep it fresh. And but WWE doesn't have to really kind of pull the trigger on those things just yet, because they're still drawing so well and they're doing amazing. And I don't think the U.S. crowds are bad. They're just not the European crowds, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah, it's just like you said, it's very cultural. And that's why I brought up Japan, because anybody who's ever watched, like, you watch a New Japan event and you're like watching these people do amazing stuff, like amazing stuff.
It's classic.
You know, you don't hear, like, if you hear anybody audibly be like, oh, something crazy happened.
And it's a lot of fun to watch because of that. Crazy. Right? They'll do something in the crowd, the whole crowd, whoa. And then, but in Japan, they also go to wrestling at like 6 p.m. on a weeknight after work. Like, people, like, it's completely different than it is here. Like, it's just unfathomable and unheard of the way they do.
So, I guess at the end,
all over the place in Japan.
Yeah, the end of this point is that, no, moving their base of operations over to Europe is a silly, short-sighted argument that you think is addressing a problem that, frankly, isn't really a problem.
No,
it's like you're imagining a problem. Like, everybody, like, we are in a current internet wrestling community cycle of the WWE is a sinking ship. Like, that's where we are right now. Like, it's right. You know, and I think that it's not even a true, like, it's the same minority opinion that thinks that the WWE is so back when they put together stories that make them happy. Like, if I see like every day after PLE, the same snarky people are just kind of shitting on the show to shit on the show. And be like, this is all the exact same thing over and over and over again. It's totally terrible, boring, blah, blah, blah. And one, all of wrestling is that. Like, I'm sorry. Like, just to head over to Jon Moxley, how many times do I need to see him dropped on a bed of nails before it's no longer unique and special? Like, and stupid. I think it's stupid.
And we've passed that.
I do not like those matches. But, like, it's AEW is the exact same way. You just like the same thing that AEW peddles. So you tell yourself it's better product. It's better product for you. It's what you like. Unfortunately, it's also not a mass appeal product. A true mass appeal product. You know, I don't care how many different ways Meltzer tries to tell you that it is. It's just not. That doesn't mean it's not doing fine. Right? It doesn't mean that there's some wildly over the top. They're not competing with the WWE for money.
Right.
And the WWE has really cornered the mass appeal market. They know where to take something. And here's the thing. When somebody fires on the WWE, it's starting to feel less special, because it used to be special. Like, it used to be a big deal. And now we do drop, you know, a swear here or there. We're not cutting cursing promos like AEW is, but they've walked back on their family friendly, completely PG product. They're absolutely, you know, they're still not drawing blood every five matches, but
they do draw
blood. It's not unusual. Yeah, it's not unusual to see somebody bleed anymore.
Cody Rhodes did tell The Rock to go fuck himself at Elimination Chamber.
Right. So I, you know, but the WWE is always going to straddle that line of something that is still palatable, that a parent does not feel uncomfortable seeing, like, letting their children watch in terms of violent content and language.
Yeah. I mean, I get, before every show, I'll get a message undoubtedly from somebody. Is this show all ages? Is it a family-friendly show? And I'm like, it is. You might hear or see something, but it is. You know,
right.
And this is, I was going to post about this. So we're going back to Greg Time Wrestling again. Because the last event was kind of surreal, right? In the audience is, like, guy I went to grad school with. In the audience is also woman who cuts my hair and her husband and two kids. And I'm announcing Samoa Joe with the guy who I've learned so much from and the retirement tour that we've been planning for 2 years, 3 years. But I remember when I was talking to the woman who cuts my hair about this event, and I was showing her some of the matches that we had posted on Instagram for advertising. She was like, wait, that's a guy fighting a girl. I'm like, yeah. She was like, is that okay? I'm like, yeah, like it's wrestling. It's okay. And she was like, is that going to be disturbing? And I'm like, no, it's not going to be disturbing. Like, we would never do something like that. Like, your kids are okay to go see that. But it's interesting. Like, that was a parent who brought up, like, do I want to take my kids to go see a man fighting a woman? And she did just fine. Right. And the kids made it through and everybody was good. But, like, that's those things you have to think about, as I'm fine with intergender wrestling because it's wrestling. Like, again, like there's a dude by the name of Bad Dude Tito, who most wrestling fans know if you're listening to a podcast online, who's quite big and wrestles in Japan and all that stuff. And he has no problem wrestling women. And I'm like, if Bad Dude Tito, who looks like he should squash that woman like a grape, will wrestle against and sell for women,
right,
so can you. And that's, it's a movie.
It's funny. I'm going to steal from somebody who doesn't like when women wrestle men by stealing their one of their sentences and phrases. It's play fighting. You're watching play fighting, and that's okay. And it's fun. We enjoy it. We grew up on play fighting. If you are listening to this podcast, I am willing to bet money that you grew up watching play fighting. So within that, there is a spectrum of what that play fighting can be or is. You know, it can be the PG-13-ish stuff that you get with the WWE, and it can go all the way to Japanese death matches. Mm-hmm. And as JR would say, it's all play fighting. Even that, even though I don't like it, every time I watch Nick Gage go through a fucking light bulb, I didn't care for it. But it's play fighting, and they trust each other to do what they're doing. And you just got to be comfortable with what the show is producing and know, do your homework, mom and dad, do your homework, wrestling fan. Because if they're putting together a product you enjoy watching, to bring this full circle, doesn't matter where it's taking place. People are going to enjoy it. They're going to cheer for it, and they're going to have fun.
And you know what? Go see some indie wrestling. Damn it. Why not? Like, indie wrestling is it's completely different.
I really have been intending to try and catch. Now that Grind Puro is back out here, and I think I told you about it before. Created by Rip Bison and his girlfriend Delmi XO. They're the two that own it. God Queen Delmi or whatever she calls herself now, but They took a break. They're kind of back. They're back on track. They seem to be putting together fairly regular shows now, which is the hardest part with indie wrestling, and why people need to support it is that the first show is usually not the problem. First show, people are going to come and check it out. It's the third show, second, third show, the show after the first show. Like, you gotta have that plan. And maybe you don't have a 1 year plan like Greg DeMarco does with his booking plan, but you gotta know what's next. Because if you don't have what's next, why are people gonna come? And I'm
helping somebody right now who is growing their promotion and building it from the ground up. And I literally, and he was like, I'll do this match, and I'm like, wait, what is this match build to? It's like, well, they'll be great matches. I'm like, yeah, they will be great matches, but then what? Like, you got to answer that then what question.
Yeah.
I'm like, build, come up with a story. Like, you've got your cards with us, and then you've got your standalone cards. Like, let's build your actual stories through. And now he is, and he loves it. He's just like, yeah, like, this is going to lead to this, and we need this person so we can build to this. And he's talking about who he's booking and why, and it all builds, and not everything. Like
right.
There are some matches on a card that are matches on a card. And you find ways to infuse them into things and make them better. And maybe it's about one wrestler and not the other one, because maybe you're just building someone in the background, right, who's eventually going to challenge for a title or stuff like that. But that's how you kind of grow and pull it up. Like, when we ran our first IZW event, we had six matches, and One had a story that was going to continue, and it's still continuing today, now that I think about it. It's kind of crazy. And then another one was to build somebody, and then our main event was going to be a feud. Like, there were things that built through, you know?
We were lucky. That's some Rick Martel, Santana level shit there.
We were lucky, though.
6 years later.
Well, they've been a tag team. They've been everything. But yeah. we were lucky in the sense that our second show was way bigger than our first. And that doesn't always happen. And it was after the second show that people were like, this is special. So it was not after the first show that people said that.
Right.
The first show, people were like, great, let's do another one.
Well, the first show, you talked about, I'm going to do this match and this match and this match. That is great for your first show, but you made the great point. It's what comes out of those matches. Right. Like, because if you're just a promotion that was like, hey, we're going to put on great matches, like, anybody can do that. That's not what makes wrestling special.
Right.
Like, say what you will about AEW. They do have stories. Like, you may not like the stories. They might be great stories, or they might not be great stories, but they do have stories. Because for as much as people want to see the crazy, they still want to know, they still want a reason to see the crazy.
Right, exactly.
Why? Make the crazy matter. The why is always important, even if it's all you ever do. This has been a fun, interesting, winding road of a podcast, Greg. This is when we do our best work. Talk for a month and then just figure out where
it's crazy that we're well over an hour into the program. Had no idea that we were. So
it's
a way to come back.
I am trying to get caught up on my WWE storylines, though.
I even my joke that I just logged off of work shortly before we started recording because work's been so crazy, but like I was just now watching some of Raw today and still haven't seen the main event. A funny story that I wanted to bring up, another thing I saw online, it was a post about how so randomly, and I put randomly in quotes, the French crowd picked AJ Styles as their guy. And they love AJ Styles, and they went and watch Raw. Watch when AJ Styles come out. They do, in fact, go apeshit for more than they've done for anybody else the entire weekend. They go apeshit for AJ Styles. And people were like to the point where if I'm WWE, because they didn't stop going crazy during the commercial break. Like they come back from commercial and the fans are still going just as crazy for AJ like it was a soccer game. If I'm Triple H at that point, I'm changing the booking and I'm having AJ win the Intercontinental title for that crowd.
Right.
Let Dom win it back next week or something like that. But like the pop would have been enormous had AJ won. And it wasn't the main event. It was semi-main event because they'd already set up another match for the main event.
I do remember that match was being set up.
Oh yeah, they'd set it up for a while, but the French crowd and everyone
not
like,
said it announced.
Yeah, and everyone was like, "Why did the French crowd latch on AJ Styles?" The thing they cheer for him has the word "phenomenal" in it. It's they didn't pick AJ; they picked the guy that matches their chant, and then it grew from there. Now there's the AJ factor, right? They could have picked a crappy wrestler, or not one of the greatest of all time. And it gone differently, but they just happened to have the word phenomenal in a chant that they applied to one of the best in-ring performers ever. And so
we've seen people get behind somebody that didn't take off. Like it happens all the time on, you know, the Raw after Mania, like need I remind you, we fandangoed for a week.
We did more than a week.
We tried to make that a thing.
We fandangled like crazy. I still remember the Raw after Mania when Enzo and Cass showed up. Like,
yep.
Crowd went bonkers. I think it was in New York too. And you have, you know, they're doing the New York thing. That never panned out either.
Yep.
So you just never know what's going to pan out and what's not going to pan out. But AJ is.
The nice thing about AJ has panned out. Don't think we got to worry about that one fading into obscurity.
Exactly.
So I think we're good there.
It's always going to be AJ. So, but I did find that funny that again, the online fans who get more run out of each other because it's other online fans that are reading stuff. And again, we're talking like what, maybe 15% of the WWE audience, probably more like 60 or 70% of the AEW audience. So they're going to get. So the influence is only what it is. Because, again, I was watching Raw, and I remember I was watching Clash in Paris. And there was fans online complaining because Naomi's injury meant that we didn't get Stephanie Vaquer on Clash in Paris. And according to them, instead, and I don't know if it's instead or maybe it was always a plan, we got Becky Lynch versus Nikki Bella. And so I'm thinking, okay, people are shitting on Becky Lynch versus Nikki Bella. And then someone else is like, why is Becky always winning with a roll-up or a backslide? And I'm like, she's a crafty heel. She doesn't need to have a finish in every one of her matches. Then I'm watching Nikki Bella versus Becky Lynch, and the entire crowd is hanging on every little thing they do in the match.
Right.
The internet is just not indicative of what the WWE audience is reacting to and responding to.
Right. And absolutely, 1,000%.
And one of the best things that you can do, even though it provides spoilers, as a fan, one of the best things you can do is watch the internet, find the internet reactions first, then watch the show and pay attention to the crowd. And you'll realize,
right.
Now the problem is most people doing that want to agree with the internet response and not the crowd response, and so it fails. But
right.
If you do it as purely as like a social experiment and you go in there without this preconceived outcome that you want to see, you'll realize these people are going nuts for Becky Lynch and Nikki Bella. And
yeah,
regardless of what the internet wants. Now the internet and the wrestling fans are going to come together at WrestlePalooza when Io Sky fights Stephanie Vaquer, right? Everyone's going to love that because that's the convergence right. of the internet and everyone else. Last point for you, because I know you got Springfield coming up where John Cena is going to be there. And I think that's going to be special. I really do. Because it's his last appearance in Springfield.
I hope so.
Before his last match that'll take place in Boston. It's probably going to get announced. Okay, you might get him in a match. And I think it might be his first appearance before then.
Yeah,
I
don't even care if he's in a match.
Because it is right before WrestlePalooza. But it brings me back to, because I know you haven't seen it yet. Before you watch anything else, dial up your Peacock and watch John Cena versus Logan Paul. Because...
Yeah.
And Logan Paul made a... People were like, oh my God, Logan Paul just destroyed kayfabe. Like, no, you just don't like Logan Paul. Like, people have been destroying kayfabe.
Right, no, they really don't.
But he talked... Logan Paul made an Instagram post or whatever about how... What he did and with the goat in the ring and blah, 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 and how proud he was and how much it meant to him and all that kind of stuff, right? If people want to hate Logan Paul, so they're not going to recognize or acknowledge it. That match was amazing. Like, it truly was.
Yeah.
And we're not surprised when you hear Logan Paul match.
No, because Logan Paul is good and people don't want to acknowledge that he's really good and that he is going to be, when he is the world champion...
It's coming.
It's going to be awesome.
It's coming.
It's going to be awesome.
It might be this coming WrestleMania. And, it truly might.
And I can't remember when I announced that, my fully on board the Logan Paul train, but I definitely did it on this show.
Well, I know shortly after WrestleMania, when I was like, pick a winner next year.
Well, because I picked him
to win the Royal
Rumble. Well, I also picked him to win a Royal Rumble. Yeah, like I believe it. I believe in it. I believe in him. I am convinced that the personality and the actual in-ring talent are awesome. Like,
he's a wrestler.
And here's the thing, and this is why I try to be clear with fans when I talk about this. Being awesome in the ring doesn't mean you can do a lot of shit in the ring, because there are plenty of talented performers who can do a ton of cool-looking things that aren't as good as Logan Paul.
Absolutely. It was funny, too, because he hits
like,
the Buckshot Lariat.
Can't tell a story like Logan Paul.
He can tell
a story in the ring.
He hits the Buckshot Lariat, and MJF promotes better than the you know, shitty cowboy or whatever. And it actually wasn't. It was like two of the worst Buckshot Lariats that I've seen Logan Paul do compared to what he's done a few other times. Like, it's still a great move, even when Hangman Page does it. But... John Cena, and I think he talked about this in the post show or maybe online. He did some things in this match because he knows there's people he's not going to get to wrestle before he's done. So he started doing moves of other guys. And I mean, and I'm talking, he was busting out Cesaro shit. And Michael Cole was really calling it Cesaro shit. He hit the End of Days, Baron Corbin's finisher on Logan Paul. He had a Styles Clash. And
all right, I'll go back and watch.
Like it's kind of funny.
Match. And he Stop does most spoiling of this. The match. Like
he does most of this in the last third of the match, and the finishing sequence is you know, to coin a phrase, phenomenal. Like, yeah, I was very, very like, you could tell John Cena, and there's the crowd, 30,000 people, and it's his last appearance in Paris, and maybe his last international appearance, but they went apeshit for it, and and those guys delivered. And yeah, you're right, like, at this point in time, in fact, you know, between now and the next 2 years, he would be irresponsible if Logan Paul didn't win a world title. Because again, it's not about the wrestler deserving a world title. At this point, the world title would benefit from Logan Paul holding it.
Think about how great the shows would be.
With him bragging and him taking the title everywhere, like he did with the US title.
There are two guys right now I can't wait to see be a world champion in the WWE. And one of them is currently the Intercontinental Champion. And the other is Logan Paul. Both of those guys, when they carry those belts, are going to be great because you want them to lose so bad. Right. And they know it, and they're amazing at what they do. And if you had told me 2 years ago that I would be sitting there being like Dominic Mysterio and Logan Paul, world heavyweight champions, I would have called you crazy. I didn't get to say this when you were talking about AJ. Most fun he's had in a feud since ... Like, that dude looks like he's having the time of his life.
I think he is having, especially the backstage segments, like all the stuff he's done with Dominic Mysterio.
I would love to ask him I would love to know if he's having as much fun as it appears, and I'm sure he is. And when was the last time it was clear he was having this much fun doing a story? It may not be the most poetic wrestling he's ever done, but like this story,
yeah.
Like,
and when we hit the Royal Rumble, it's a decade for him in WWE.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy too. There's a 2016 Rumble. I think it came out at number three. So.
One of the all-time great Royal Rumble entrance.
Yeah. Like, it's just, you know. It's
that crazy. One gave me chills. When that one hit, that one actually did give me chills. Because I right up, and you knew he was coming. But even when he finally showed up, it was still like, holy
and
shit,
Michael Cole,
it finally
just come
happened.
Off of Wrestle Kingdom, like everything. And Michael Cole,
yep.
Could it be? It is. Like, to me, there is no Royal Rumble surprise that will ever match Edge. Like, dude was retired with neck injuries, and like, he's crying when he's out.
Cena's out of nowhere return from injury was pretty big.
Yeah, but Cena wasn't out for 9 years. So
no, true, but Cena also wasn't supposed to be back in 3 months.
Right. Oh yeah. No, I know. I remember.
Like I think they're apples and pomegranates.
But you knew Cena was gonna come back.
Like right, but you didn't know he's gonna come back for the Rumble.
Right, but you didn't know Edge was ever gonna come back. So
that's fair.
That's where that one.
Then again, now when people say they're done, I don't ever believe anybody's done now.
It's so hard, right? Yeah, you just never know.
I mean, when Nigel McGuinness wrestles in a match, like,
which he's done several times,
nobody's
done. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, just because the medicine has changed. I mean, Josh Alexander is right. A lesser known but perfect example. Like, he was told he had to retire, and then like 5-6 years later, the doctor's like, "No, you could wrestle." And you know, Daniel Bryan Danielson, another one. Like, he was told not to wrestle, and then other doctors said he could, and now he's not again. But there's risk in everything, but I mean, it's just, you know, same with Edge. Like, Edge was done and then could come back. So you just never know. You just never know what's going to pop up and what's going to work. And when it does, it does. And you know, it's
yeah. Fun.
So good for all those guys and good for us back on the podcasting wagon here this week.
Do we go 2 weeks in a row?
That would be a milestone.
That's the real question.
I don't think we've done that since
DC Tunney wants to know.
April or May is the last time we've done two in a row, I think. So,
well, I will say this. On my calendar, outside of holidays, I'm around now until February.
See?
February got a 2-week vacation in my future. But outside of, you know, the normal round of illnesses or whatnot that would keep us out, I'm here.
We'll make it happen.
And this was fun.
We'll make a promise to the people to do a show next week.
I'll pencil it in.
Right? Pencil it in. 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll pencil it in. So, well, for those of you who are still listening to us talk about God knows what, go follow Patrick O'Dowd at Wrestling Realist. It's WRESTLNGREALIST. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in realist. For the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd. Follow me at GregDeMarco44. Follow the website at ChairShot Media for all the amazing podcasts, articles, coverage, and so much more that you can find at your favorite website,
thechairshot.com. Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Listen to the shows. Enjoy. So next week, we're going to talk to Patrick, and then the following week, he will have gone to Raw, and we'll have had that experience, and so we'll have more fun things to talk about. Plus, who knows? And here's the thing. Like, now that we know we're going to podcast next week, if we need to, we can go old school. Like, there's all kinds of shit we can do. So we will
so definitely
do those things. So awesome. We appreciate you guys listening. If you got feedback or whatever at this point, we're probably not going to do anything with it. So we're sorry, or we love you, depending on what that is. But yeah, until next time, he's Patrick O'Dowd. I'm Greg DeMarco. Always use your head.
Exactly, no pop.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.